Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern on the 26th of March, 2020. We're going to be talking about the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Billy Meyer is an 80-plus-year-old man. He lives in Switzerland in a place they call Hinterschmidruti, which is about 30 minutes east of Zurich. He grew up in Bulach, Switzerland, around 1943, 44, 45. He started to get telepathic messages from an extraterrestrial human by the name of Svath, who would land his silvery pear-shaped craft near Billy's home there in Bulach. And Billy would be taken up into the ship. One of the interesting things that Svath told Billy is about Billy's previous lives. And one of the creational natural laws is reincarnation. But it's not really reincarnation the way most people think of it. Because there's a part of you, there's a part of me that all humans have called the spirit form. And it never dies, and it forms a consciousness, a spiritual consciousness. And this consciousness is different than your normal consciousness. We have what's called a material consciousness, and we also have a spiritual consciousness. The material consciousness is new in every one of your lifetimes. So you get a new personality. You get a new body. You'll be living in a different time frame, under a different set of circumstances with different parents. So all of these different opportunities and different situations come to you. Now, when Svath was talking to Billy, he was telling Billy about his earlier lifetimes, his Vorgängers, as they're called in the German, or predecessors. And Billy has been the people that we call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And in each one of these previous lives, he taught something called the teaching of the spirit, which the people of Earth didn't really understand very well. In this lifetime, Edward Albert Meyer, Billy Meyer, is writing this information down. And in one of the books he has, which I have probably focused on most, is called Mach der Gedanken, or Might of the Thoughts. And we've been talking about how the maintenance of wrong thoughts and views and so forth leave behind deep grooves in the consciousness. What are wrong thoughts and views? Wrong thoughts and views are views which are not neutral positive. They are either too positive or too negative. They're not balanced. And these thoughts tend to be wrong. Wrong thoughts, wrong views. And they destroy the psyche. So it's kind of like taking your car and driving it through your front yard when it's real wet. You're going to leave these big grooves, and they're going to be there for a while. And these grooves have to be repaired again and made to disappear. And when you can repair these grooves, then you can avoid what's called the vicious cycle of repeated negative thoughts. Now, the material consciousness is different than the spiritual consciousness. The material consciousness is controlled and looked after and regulated by something called the psyche. And the psyche is vulnerable. The psyche is not always neutral positive. The psyche has issues and problems. And the goal is to have the psyche in what's called the neutral positive equalized balance. The psyche is half material, and it's within the material body of a life form. So we have a material body, and we also have a spirit body. Now, Billy doesn't talk too much about the spirit body, at least I haven't ever read it yet. In this case, the psyche regulates and looks after the thoughts and feelings of the material consciousness. Now, if you have unhealthy thoughts going through your consciousness, that's going to cause negative feelings to come out of those unhealthy thoughts. And those negative feelings tend to damage the psyche. And the psyche gets in a state called askirtit, which is either negatively or positively unequalized. So the goal is to keep the psyche, the material consciousness, in an equalized harmony. Now, there's something in the spirit body called the gemut. In the gemut, it looks after and regulates the thoughts and feelings of the spiritual part of the human being. Now, this gemut cannot be influenced by negative powers and negative thoughts and negative forms. In fact, the gemut is a lot like the universal consciousness. It's always in this neutral positive state. So we have kind of a plus and a minus in our consciousness. You can look at the psyche as the minus, I guess, and the gemut as the plus. And this is just me. I have never heard Billy describe it. So the gemut also supplies the psyche with what are called harmonious swinging waves. So, and Billy's third contact, a woman named Sannyasi, said, everyone has a spirit form that never sleeps and never dies, and it records all of your thoughts and impulsations. And it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong. Now, how does the spirit form, how does the gemut, how does it tell you if your feelings, if your thoughts are right or wrong? Well, it'll send you what's called a quiet impulse of wisdom. Now, we're kind of not real good at paying attention to these, but it'll help as your life goes on to try to, when you get an impulse to do something and you know and you have a strong feeling it's the right thing to do, it could be the spiritual consciousness giving you the impulse to do something. Now, this gemut, this controlling, this regulating factor to the spiritual consciousness, it has no direct connection with your material body. This is a kind of a mystery to me. The spirit form enters into the body when you're 21 days old, and it lodges itself in the superior colliculus, but it has no direct connection. But it can send impulses to the material consciousness. Now, we also have something called the mentality, and there are several things in the mentality. Let me read this quickly. The mentality is referred to as the half-material blocking factor, which is responsible for the earlier mentioned things. And let me read a little bit of what the earlier mentioned things are, since I kind of looked over those. So again, the gemut has no direct connection with the material body. Let me read a few things here. It says, temperament, irritability, receptivity, lethargy, melancholy, optimism, pessimism, some other things here, gemuts, impulsation, feeling, agitation, pathos, passion, enthusiasm, warmth, fervor, participation, kindness, intimacy, behavior, character, and the outpouring of feelings, etc. All these things, as well as the emotions, etc., really do not belong to the gemut. And by and large, aside from a few other exceptions, do not belong to the psyche. Well, that's very, very interesting. I'm reading from the book The Psyche, which is, I found it to be very technical, and I probably said that before. Well, again, there's also a part called the feeling. Now, I'm trying to, these are bits and pieces of our consciousness. And again, we have two aspects to our consciousness, the material, the physical consciousness, and the spiritual consciousness. Now, the feeling. Billy says the feeling is referred to as the block and factor of the half-material psyche, which creates the feeling and conveys it to the consciousness. So there's a part of our consciousness which will create a feeling and then send that on to the consciousness. This factor contains in itself the entire palette of feelings a human being and every other life form is capable of, in which case, however, the level of evolution forms the most definitive guideline of how many and which feelings the human being is capable of. The entire block of feelings and their possibilities encompasses vastly many more impulsations, etc., than are presently known to the human being. And I think I mentioned this last time. The evolution of the human beings on Earth is still too low that he or she become conscious of all the feeling-based impulsations. So we don't even, we're capable of much more in terms of our feelings. The feeling bears no relationship to the touch of anything, body and objects, warmth, hot and cold, physical form, the feeling of touch, is solely and exclusively of a purely material nature. Whereas the feeling of the half-material psyche itself is a form of the half-material, as is also the case with the mentality block as well as the Empfindungsblock. Empfindung. I remember when Billy was on the Great Mothership with Sannyasi and Pata and the whole crew of the ship, and they were jumping from one star system to the other. And when they were in that hyperspace between the jumps from one solar system to the other, Billy said it was, he explained it in the contact report that it was, he was just, he had a feeling that was tremendous. It was hard to describe. Nothing, I guess, a feeling of, it was love and oneness. I guess it was almost like being one with creation. And he kept saying the word, the German word, Empfindung, the feelings, I guess, would be referring to the feelings. I'm just looking over this page and it has quite a bit to it, and maybe I'm being directed one way or another to back to the book The Psyche. It wasn't really my intention to go here. Feelings are impulsations which also originate from sensual physical impulses, but also from drives and instinct forms, from psyche consciousness-based currents, and also purely from conditions of the personality. Depending on the utilization of energy at hand, that is also essential to the feeling formation. The duration and the depth is determined, as well as the intensity and realness. as well as the uncomplicatedness and the degree of tension of the relative feeling form. Feelings are both primal and unavoidable, but can also be traced back to the psychic consciousness-based and purely physical, as well as environmental processes, etc. Physical processes, example, those of the autonomic nervous system and of the central nervous system, are also causes of the diverse feeling forms, as also the direct interaction of the psyche and the body. Empfindung, perception, and memory are also classified within the encompassing block of the feeling origination and the feeling formation. The experience is also part thereof, as it also forms a factor of the feeling origination, feeling formation, etc., as well as all the imaginable possible physiological processes, in which case these life processes are of quite enormous significance. And I'm sorry I'm reading so much, but this is kind of grabbed me. Especially psychological feeling stimulating processes can be experienced by the human being as particularly high or low, and thus also stirred up or fully suppressed or disregarded. Wow. Now listen to this, and I'll switch back to the mind of thoughts. The less advanced the human being is in his or her evolution, the more uncontrolled they react towards their thoughts and feelings, and also thus their emotions. But if a human being lives in a higher evolution, then he or she also strives to better control their feelings and to form them according to the higher evolution and to live them out. So if you see people that reacting to their thoughts and feelings and their emotions, and they're kind of out of control, that could be an indication that they're maybe not so evolved, whereas a person who's in better control of his feelings and emotions and thoughts. And remember, there's a difference between feelings and emotions. Emotions are very spontaneous, like a reflex, where feelings grow. From the teaching about the feelings, it follows that these cannot be described only as subjective states of excitement, of varying thematic and changing intensity, which each time are more or less accompanied by pleasure or unpleasure, but that it involves impulsations that show an enormous range of forms of expression and accompanying forms, which are very difficult to comprehend in their entirety and cannot so simply, tritely, be dismissed as pleasure or unpleasure. Thus as well, there are not only a few basic factors given from the feelings should result, as the scientists researching these phenomena presume, but actually uncountable numbers. Furthermore, it also has to be pointed out again and again that the feelings are not simply and fundamentally born out of the single factor, because, truthfully, these emerge from several and various factors. Pure psychic processes are both the origins of feelings and also material consciousness-based processes. Yet in the feeling origination and the feeling formation, genetic codings also enter into the realm of the feeling origin, which are practically created as a process of the biological evolution. The thinking and the powers of the material consciousness are also an origin, as well as the Empfindung block by which the feeling world and the half-material psyche realm is influenced and co-formed out of the spirit realm. Thus, for the development and the formation of feelings, not only one single block of psyche or physical, spiritual, material, consciousness-based nature is accountable and responsible, but rather several. Oh, no wonder that I had to read this many, 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 many times, and I'm still reading it over to try to really absorb everything there. So to be back on topic again, old negative thought patterns, they are maintained, and that's bad because they leave deep grooves in the consciousness. And these deep grooves must be repaired and made to disappear. And I always go over the things that I've memorized. And let me go over a couple of passages from Love Letter 27. Because there's really something about when you're looking at the creation or thinking about creation, which frees you from all your negative thought patterns. You know, and I think you could probably say the creation doesn't have negative thought patterns, but only neutral, positive, equalized thought patterns. So if you could master your thoughts, what might you be able to do? Probably quite a lot. But anyway, back to Love Letter 27. Love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. And love will forever be the purpose of our existence. Wisdom and love go together, and the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And creation radiates love, so that every person comes up against the radiating love of creation. Here's one from Kelk der Wahrheit, or the Goblet of Truth, if I can remember it. It says, what the truth knows to say. Stones, rivers, bushes, trees, everything that crawls and flies on the earth is a life form with a spirit form. And these spirit forms are on a journey through time, which involve many, many lifetimes. And death is just a passage into the world of pure spirit. Many of these creatures are connected to one another and are aware of each other by psychic swinging waves. That was kind of I forget the word he used, but it was kind of my own summary there. It was not a 1,000% correct. But if you also, now a few passages from the Mighty Thoughts, which are very helpful. I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful. I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift on the ocean of life. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, everything can be brought to fruition. What I mightfully think, it goes, what I mightfully think doesn't say materialize for me. Only a conscious and unconscious purposefulness can bring a thought to fruition. Anyway, there's a lot of really good passages in this book which will help you reorient your thinking, because we have to reorient our thinking when we have allowed these negative thought patterns to take a hold. The negative thought patterns, they rotate and they create these deep grooves in the consciousness. And what happens is your train of thoughts falls back into the deep groove. And you can't free yourself from the negativity. So negative, bad, unhealthy, and wrong tendencies thereby also protest wildly. Your material consciousness is, it's described in the book as hysterical. It's threatened by your spiritual evolution. It complicates everything. And I know people fall into that trap too, where they feel overwhelmed that things are so complicated. And that a lot of times comes from material consciousness. It tries to maintain control. It has a hard time letting go. And we have to reorient. And when we reorient, that's when we get a different frame of reference. And our thinking changes. So the old unhealthy and negative thought patterns are only able to dissolve in order to then ultimately disappear and lose their control. So this is what we want to happen. We want these old unhealthy negative thought patterns to slowly dissolve. And slowly these deep grooves in your consciousness will disappear. But I think it's very, very healthy to try to memorize as much as you can. Another thing you can do is the wish dream, where take your thoughts to an experience that's either kind of a neutral, positive. It was a good experience. It's a healthy experience. It's also take your thoughts to a completely neutral thing, like raking up some straw or raking some leaves or something that really doesn't have either a positive or a negative connotation. That will help free you from your negative thought pattern. It's called the wish dream, and he talks about it in the book The Might of Thoughts very, very much. So let me continue just a little bit here in the book, and we're almost out of time. I don't know where the time went. But along with that also belongs the vital knowledge that success is actually achievable and is also reached. And again, as I said before, the old unhealthy and negative thought patterns are only thereby able to dissolve in order to then ultimately disappear and lose their control. No patterns of thought and no ideas are allowed to control the intelligence. So what that means is the intelligence controls the intelligence, not these patterns of thoughts, not these ideas that you've habitually think that control you. The human being must hold his or her thoughts and intelligence under control. That's the key. You must hold your thoughts and intelligence under control. Because rational ideas and setting the zeal and so forth can only be created and realized in that way. And indeed by means of the might of the thoughts which is steered by the consciousness. So part of the secret here is being motivated. So stay in your motivation. Control your thoughts. You have the power to do it. You are the master of your own destiny. You are the forger of your fortune. Create your thoughts. Nurture your thoughts. Strengthen your thoughts. Steer your ship. Don't drift. Anyway, thanks for listening. This is Ohio Exopolitics, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.